Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we introduced to you an article that was written by a Mormon woman by the name of Rachel Bruner. And I think that's how she pronounces her name. It's B-R-U-N-E-R. If I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize. She wrote an article titled, What to Do When You Do Not Want Your Spouse for Eternity. And as I explained yesterday, this certainly would not be a dilemma that an evangelical would find themselves wondering about, because certainly in our theology, because we base our theology on what the New Testament says and don't like to add to what it doesn't say, this idea of being married for time and eternity is not something that we would hold to, because the Bible doesn't talk about it. And yesterday, Eric, we were mentioning the fact that one of the things that frustrates us as people who research Mormonism, and as I mentioned yesterday quite bluntly, and I'll say it again today, I think the biggest lie ever perpetrated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is this notion that it is a restoration of what Christianity looked like in the first century, or Christianity as Jesus wanted it set up. We hear this a lot from Latter-day Saints. They would say that our view of Christianity is apostate. Why? Because it does not fall within the parameters set down by Joseph Smith, their latter-day prophet, if you believe he was a true prophet. So we would say, no, it is not a restoration of Christianity. It is unique to Mormonism. It's unique in many cases to the ideas of Joseph Smith and those who succeeded him as leaders of the church. But in this particular area, as we've been talking off air, this gets so complicated so quickly. It just makes you wonder how in the world even a Latter-day Saint tries to figure all this out, especially when it involves a couple who was sealed for eternity, but then ends up getting a civil divorce.
I think that's a great point you're making. And just consider, if we have Latter-day Saints who are listening who have been through a divorce, and maybe the female is thinking that she's done with that man forever. But as we're going to be reading here and discussing this, that it really isn't over unless she gets remarried and has her previous marriage canceled. There's a procedure to it that I think is so complicated that probably a lot of Latter-day Saints don't know about this.
Well, let's talk about that, because yesterday we ended our show with Rachel Bruner saying that it should not be called a temple divorce, that when you get your marriage that was originally intended to last throughout eternity, and the marriage comes to an end in this mortality, she said, you can get it canceled, but it's not a divorce. And as I read yesterday, the definition of a divorce is very simple: the action or an instance of legally dissolving a marriage. And since a temple marriage is a marriage, and a temple marriage is often for eternity, why wouldn't it be called a divorce? Now, I've heard Latter-day Saints refer to it as a temple divorce. And as I mentioned yesterday, I was under the assumption that that wasn't a problem. I've heard Mormons say it. I've heard ex-Mormons say it. That's how they understood it. But Rachel Bruner is saying it should not be called a temple divorce. What does she go on to say after that?
A cancellation of a temple sealing should not be called a divorce. It is similar in some ways to legal divorce because a prior marriage is annulled. However, the term divorce should not be used. It is misleading and inaccurate when applied to this process.
Now, let me stop you there, because I'm thinking through what she's written here, and I'm wondering, wait a minute, you said it is similar in some ways to a legal divorce, But then she says the term divorce should not be used because it's misleading and inaccurate. But yet when we look at the definition of what a divorce is, it seems to fall within the guidelines of that definition. So what's the problem here? And as I said yesterday, I think this is a semantical game that is being played on us here. They don't want it called that, but technically it seems to be exactly that. And that's probably why so many Latter-day Saints themselves don't have a problem referring to it as a temple divorce.
She goes on and writes, a temple sealing cancellation occurs after a couple is divorced, but not until the woman is ready and worthy to be sealed to a new husband or a man seeks to be sealed to a new wife. Genders are currently treated differently in this process.
Let's examine what she's just said there. A temple sealing cancellation occurs after a couple is divorced, but not until the woman is ready and worthy to be sealed to a new husband, or a man seeks to be sealed to a new wife. What does that say? Well, it appears to say, and we've checked with our personal authority on this that we know, and the way we understand this to read is when a couple who has been sealed for time and eternity go through a civil divorce, in other words, legally ending that marriage, the woman is still going to be a part of that man's eternity until she goes through the process of having her marriage for eternity canceled. And the way this reads, she does not do that until she is about to be married to another man. So that raises a question. What if this individual woman doesn't get married to another man?
It sounds like to me, Bill, that she is going to be called by the first husband.
And what if she can't stand that guy? What if the guy was an abusive person? What if he was just a womanizer? He had affairs and somehow was under the radar and was still able to get sealed to another woman. Someone didn't catch all this. And so she's going to spend her eternity with this guy because she never went through this process of getting her marriage for time and eternity canceled.
That puts a whole new spin on families are forever, and that marriages continue on. It sounds so romantic, but when you're in a situation like this, and how many people get themselves into situations where divorce is what takes place, and that woman is not going to be released until she's ready to get married, and then she goes and gets it canceled. That, I think, a lot of single Latter-day Saint women out there who have been married before, got divorced, may not know this.
Now, you and I, being evangelicals, look at this as a bunch of nonsense. But you have a lot of Latter-day Saints that take their faith very seriously. And it makes me wonder, there has to be some women out there who went through a horrible divorce. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, divorce is a horrible thing. But there's probably a lot of women out there who are still members of the LDS Church who have been divorced civilly, but were sealed to another individual for eternity and then remarried and never bothered to go through this cancellation process. Are they aware that in the dictates of their church that they're still going to be sealed to that first husband? Whether they like it or not, he still has the authority, if he's a priesthood holder, to call that woman up on Resurrection Day, because that's how it works in Mormonism. You get a special name when you go through the temple endowment ceremony, and that husband is supposed to call his wife up by that temple name. So he calls her by that name. She's going to be with that individual for eternity. I have to wonder, is that really going to be heaven for her? If it wasn't really heaven for her in this lifetime, I doubt it's going to be heaven for her in the next life. So for eternity, she's got to be sealed to this individual that she didn't want to be with during mortality. How is that really heaven? How is that a positive thing in the context of Mormonism?
And how is it fair? What do you do with the situation of a widow whose husband dies and leaves her behind, having been married for eternity in the temple, and they had children, so they were an eternal family, and then later that widow gets married to another man. Now, she can get married for time, but she can't get married for eternity. That man who comes in, the second husband, is not going to be able to see her into eternity. He's not going to see the children that the first husband had, and any children that they have together are going to be with the first husband. So how is that fair?
Well, what you just described was the marriage relationship between Horace Whitney and Helen Marr Kimball, who was a plural wife of Joseph Smith. Helen Marr Kimball, she was the 14-year-old that Joseph Smith married, and not long after he marries Helen Marr Kimball, he's killed at Carthage Jail. She was sealed for eternity to Joseph Smith. They never had any children. After Joseph Smith died, she marries Horace, and they end up having several children together. What you just described is exactly what's going to happen if Mormonism is true, which of course it's not. But all those children that Horace had with Helen are going to be Joseph Smith's children in the hereafter, not Horace's. In fact, Horace isn't even going to be married to Helen Marr Kimball in the next life. He was married polygamously to another woman, so he'll probably be with her, but he will not be with Helen Marr Kimball for eternity. So that's exactly what you just described. Now, you see, folks, how complicated this gets. Where in the world do we see any such notion in the New Testament? There is nothing like this. In fact, Jesus made it very clear. There is no marriage in the hereafter. But we're like the angels. Are angels married? Not even in Mormonism are angels married. How do you draw this conclusion? You draw the conclusion because it's based on the teachings of a guy like Joseph Smith. It's not found in the New Testament. Therefore, we would argue this cannot be a teaching that has been restored or was a part of the early Christian church. I just find it amazing that during that time period after the civil divorce, a woman is still kind of hanging there, still attached to this other individual. For whatever reason, they got a divorce. They obviously didn't think they were compatible, but yet she's still going to be his wife throughout eternity, assuming, I guess, if she stays in the Mormon church. Because if she leaves the church, let's say the reason why the divorce took place was because she became a Christian, let's say. She doesn't qualify to go to the celestial kingdom anyway, so you would think that would cancel it out.
And if she's going to spend eternity with that first husband, and let's say he had been remarried to a woman that she abhorred, she's going to have to spend eternity with his other wives.
Yeah, what if he had an affair with that woman, and then after a certain time period, the church allowed him to be sealed to that woman eventually? Yeah, she's going to be a sister wife to that woman that he was having an affair with. You can see, folks, how just crazy this gets.
That sure doesn't sound like heaven to me.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Pastor, could your congregation benefit from a presentation that explains the differences between Mormonism and New Testament Christianity? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson would be honored to come to your church. Whether it's a single crash course or a weekend symposium, hundreds of churches have benefited from their fully documented and easy-to-understand PowerPoint presentations. If you'd like to schedule MRM at your church, simply write us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org.